everybody. I'm Tracy Tucker, and welcome to the Who Is In My Genes podcast, where we share adventures in exploring family trees, including tips for researching your own family tree, stories about discoveries, DNA testing and matches, and lots about adoptee searches and advocacy, because we believe everyone has a right to know who is in their genes. In this episode, we're going back in time to my old neighborhood in Barberton, Ohio, which is a suburb of Akron in Summit County in eastern Ohio. But three quick things before we get into it. One, something is happening with my microphone and I cannot figure out what it is. So I apologize if this sounds not as good as it should, but I will get it fixed before our next episode. Two, I need to issue a trigger warning. There is a mention of suicide in this episode. Proceed with caution. And three, some good news. This week marks the 10-year anniversary of Ohio's opening day, the day 400,000 Ohio-born adoptees could apply for and receive their original birth certificates. I'm one of them. I talk a lot about this in episode one. I just wanted to send out a big thank you to Betsy Norris and Adoption Network Cleveland, who had a huge role in making it happen. I am so grateful to them. So on to today's story, Nosy Neighbors. In this case, I happen to be the nosy neighbor. From the time I can remember, my mom and dad, meaning my adoptive parents, my sister and I lived on East Ford Avenue in Barberton, Ohio, until we moved to Florida in the summer of 1977 when I was 9 years old. I remember a lot of details about our house in Barberton, our front and backyard, our neighbors to one side of us who had a bunch of kids in the family, hello Sandos, and two other neighbors who lived behind us. I mentioned one of these neighbors in my origin story episode. I mentioned how our elderly neighbor Carl would play adoption agency with us. I remember his house, which was on Robinson Avenue, and his backyard and driveway, because his backyard abutted our backyard, separated only by a short chain link fence with a gate. My sister and I went up there pretty often. I actually remember hiding there one time for my mother for some reason. And I think Carl told on me. Carl smoked a pipe and he would let us smell the tobacco in its little bag. And it always smelled so good. And he did the crossword puzzle in the newspaper with a pen. I was always very impressed by that. Carl was married to Claire, who I barely remember, but I did find one picture of Claire holding me as a baby, and I have put this up on our Instagram if you want to check it out. I remember riding with them in their car to get ice cream sometimes. I think the place was called Henry's or O. Henry's, and sometimes we would go feed the ducks. I remember once being at their dining table and being puzzled over how Claire was eating. We had peas, but she was taking the skin of the peas out of her mouth and putting them back on her plate. I vaguely remember them saying something about how they upset her stomach. Not long after that, Claire died. I recall laying in bed after being told she had passed and seeing her face floating around my room. I don't know if it was trauma or if she was visiting me. About 10 years after we moved to Florida, when I was in college, Carl passed away. Claire and Carl didn't have any children that I knew of, and I didn't really know anything about them having been so young. So I recently decided to look them up. The first thing I did was create a tree on Ancestry with Carl as the home person and Claire as his wife. I knew their last name was Botine, but I wasn't sure how to spell it, only how to pronounce it. So I took a guess and I started the tree, and then I went to Carl's profile page that was built when I created the tree. No hints were showing up yet, so I hit the search on Ancestry button and voila, there was Carl. He was born Carl George Boettin, spelled B-O-E-T-T-I-N, on March 27, 1907 in Akron, Ohio, to Charles R. and Helen Boettin. He had three older siblings, Hattie, Theodore, and Minnie, and three younger siblings, Helen, Paul, and Gertrude. Per the 1930 census, Carl's parents were both born in Germany. On August 9th of that year, 1930, Carl married Elizabeth Claire Trowbridge. Claire was born on February 23, 1912, on the Mason Farm, Turkey Foot Lake, Ohio, to Thurman and Nettie Trowbridge, who were from West Virginia. Claire was the oldest of five children, having one brother, James, and three sisters, Doris, Marjorie, and Eleanor. Carl registered for the World War II draft at age 33 on October 16, 1940, in Barberton. His registration card states he worked at Babcock and Wilcox Company in machinery. He was 5'6" and weighed 120 pounds, was light-complected, and had blonde hair and hazel eyes. I only really remember him as old, smelling of his pipe and having not very much hair. He was enlisted on October 13, 1942, and was discharged on October 17, 1945, so he served just over 3 years. On the 1940 census, though, Claire and Carl were living in Barberton, and Claire's parents, Thurman and Nettie, were living with them. Then I ran across a newspaper article that mentioned Claire as Clara and her father, Thurman. On Friday, July 11th, 1941, the Akron Beacon Journal ran an article on page 26 with the headline, "Bullet Shot Fatal to Barberton Man." I'm going to read most of this article word for word. Barberton, July 11. Thurman Trowbridge, 67, of 130 Morgan Street, was found dead in his room today by his daughter, Mrs. Clara Boettin, with whom he made his home, with a .32-caliber bullet wound in his right temple, believed by police to be self-inflicted. Mrs. Boettin said that her father was worried over the illness of his wife, who is in a hospital, and his own failing health. She discovered the body at 9:30 this morning when she went to her father's room to summon him for breakfast. According to Sergeant Byron Eubanks, the shooting probably occurred late Thursday night after Mr. Trowbridge had declined his daughter's invitation to go for an automobile ride. Mr. Trowbridge was formerly a machinist at the Diamond Machine Company and had been retired for 2 years. Acting Coroner Harrington was to complete an investigation today. And when I first read this, I lost it. But this article also made me want to find out what happened to Claire's mother, Nettie, who was in the hospital when this occurred. The article says he was worried over the illness of his wife. I found her next in the 1950 census, so 9 years later, as a patient at a mental institution in Sagamore Hills, Ohio, which is just a few miles north of Barberton in Akron. I didn't find her again until her obituary. Nettie didn't pass away until the age of 77 in March of 1961. So her husband was worried about her and took himself out 20 years prior to her death. Claire never worked, as far as I can tell. She died about 15 years after her mother on October 5th, 1976, while we were still living in Ohio, and she was buried at Green Lawn Memorial Park in Akron. Her obituary states that she died after a 2-month illness. I wonder if it had something to do with why she couldn't eat the pea skins or the shells. I don't mean the pod, I mean just the outside part of each individual pea. If you know what that's called, let me know. And let me know if you have any ideas about why she wasn't eating or couldn't eat those. I'm so curious. After she died, Carl divided up her jewelry and gave half to me and half to my sister. I don't know if I even still have any of it. So we moved to Florida in 1977, less than a year after Claire died. As I mentioned earlier, about 10 years later, I was home from college for spring break, and my parents told me that Carl had died. They also told me how, but I have not found that anywhere in my research. Since it's not confirmed, and since he's not my family, I'm not going to share what they told me, but I did find that he died on February 17th, 1987 in Barberton, and that an autopsy was performed. He was buried with Claire at Greenlawn. This whole story just made me sob. It just feels so tragic to me. Just so you know where you can look for this type of information, all the details I filled in here are from census records, which in the U.S. are publicly available through 1950, state and newspaper indexes, state birth, marriage, and death records, the Department of Veterans Affairs records, public records and indexes which contain addresses from a variety of sources such as voting lists, the U.S. Social Security Death Index, newspaper articles, and U.S. World War II draft cards. When you're looking, confirm the details, but alter your spellings when you're searching, especially if you're not having any luck. When I was doing this research, Claire was found as Elizabeth Claire, Claire, and Clara. And Claire was spelled both C-L-A-R-E and C-L-A-I-R-E. If you've read or heard Christy's story, we found her aunt by searching for both her first and middle name and discovered that she was using her middle name as her given name, not her first name. Spelled differently can still be the same person, but you need to use other data points to make sure it's the same person. Now, we had another set of neighbors, too. Ada and Vern Stanley lived next door to Claire and Carl. This was another elderly couple that we visited sometimes. My mom would occasionally hand me an envelope and tell me to take it up to Ada and Vern, so my sister and I would go through the back gate, cut through Carl's yard, and go up to Ada and Vern's house. My parents seemed to be close to them, as sometime after we moved to Florida, Ada and Vern also moved to Florida to Lake Panasoffkee, and we had occasional visits. Ada would always ask me to play my clarinet for her, and she would sing along with me. It always embarrassed me because I really wasn't that great of a player, and I just only knew basic songs, but she seemed to love it. She was just a character, and I think my dad actually kind of had a crush on her. I remember Vern as a very, very thin old man with a shock of white hair. Very nice. Kind of quiet. I guess he had to be around Ada. Ada had curled brown hair, like the kind that is set. And she always had a big smile and was making jokes. So I decided to look up Ada and Vern too. Vernon Hugh Stanley was born on October 26, 1905, in Lancaster, New York, to George and Mary Stanley. He had five older siblings, Raymond, George, Ruth, Genevieve, and Ernest, and three younger, Wilfred, Irvin, and John. His father was born in New York and his mother in Canada. They were still in Lancaster, New York, in the 1915 New York State Census, but most of the family were in Barberton by the 1920 Federal Census. Vern's eldest brothers, Raymond and George, had gone to Michigan instead of coming to Barberton. On September 29th, 1934, Vern married Ada Margaret Dutt, D-U-T-T. Ada was born on September 8th, 1906 in Barberton to Floyd and Carrie Dutt. which is interesting because my sister's name is Carrie. Could just be a coincidence. Ada was an only child, which explains a lot. Not that there's anything wrong with only children. She always had a twinkle in her eye. Also, interestingly and coincidental probably, Ada's father's middle name was Stanley, which would become her married name. Floyd was born in Pennsylvania and was an auditor for the city in 1930. When I knew them, Ada and Vern lived next door to Claire and Carl on Robinson Avenue. But in the 1940 and 1950 censuses, Ada and Vern were living in my house on East Ford Avenue. So that made me think that that envelope we delivered when we were kids must have been the rent check. Vern registered for the World War II draft on October 16th, 1940 in Barberton at age 34. And if that date sounds familiar, that's because it is. It's the same date that Carl registered. I would love to think that they went together. The details on Vern's registration includes that he was 5'9" and 136 pounds. Very skinny, right? With a light complexion, brown hair, and blue eyes. And he was self-employed as a watch repairman. On the 1950 census, he was listed as the proprietor of a jewelry store. I wonder if any of Claire's jewelry was from Vern's store. Vern's younger brother, Ernest, who moved to Barberton with the family, also worked for Babcock and Wilcox, where Carl worked. And in a record I found from 1996, Earl and his wife lived also on Robinson Avenue in Barberton. Ada and Vern, like Claire and Carl, had no children. In fact, most of Vern's siblings did not have children, at least that I've been able to find. A few weeks before Carl died in 1987, I had a dream while I was at college about Ada and Vern. It was more a flash, really. It was a picture of Ada with curlers in her hair, driving a car at night. All the windows were black. I can still see it to this day. Vern was in the passenger seat asleep. That was the whole thing. But it was crystal clear. When I went home for spring break a couple weeks after this dream and my parents told me about Carl dying, I told them about the dream. My mom's jaw dropped and she said, "Well, we weren't going to tell you yet, but Vern died also." I asked what happened and she said that in the middle of the night, Vern had a bad asthma attack, and Ada, who had never gotten her driver's license, drove him to the hospital, and he died in the car on the way there. My mom immediately got the phone and said she was calling Ada to tell her about my dream, and it still chokes me up to this day thinking about it. Vern had died on January 25th, 1987, in Florida. Carl died just over 3 weeks later on February 17th, 1987, in Barberton. Vern's younger brother, Wilfred, died in 1995 in Pasco County, Florida, which is where we lived, where my parents lived. I don't remember ever hearing anything about him. I wonder if they knew. I wonder if Ada visited him when she came to visit us. Ada died more than 10 years after Vern died at age 91 on January 14th, 1998. All four of them are buried at Green Lawn Memorial Park in Akron, Ohio, with many of their family members, which is now on my list to visit. Elizabeth Claire Trowbridge, Carl George Botine, Vernon Hugh Stanley, Ada Margaret Dutt, you are not forgotten. Thank you for listening to the Who Is In My Genes podcast with me, Tracy Tucker. If you enjoyed it, please give us a great review to help others find the show and follow us to get notified of new episodes. Visit us online at whoisinmygenes.com for all the ways we can help you find out who is in your genes, and follow us on Instagram for the images we mention in the show. Links are in the show notes. Join us next week for a new episode of Adventures in Exploring Family Trees.